Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is Full Spectrum CBD? Full Spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than Full Spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, Full Spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
All righty. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 21st of October. 2021. Happy, the hell is it? Thursday. Good God, it's Thursday already. I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Welcome to it. I really do appreciate you listening, downloading, sharing, telling a friend, all that good stuff. So much going on. I appreciate the use of your ears, my friends, my Romans, my countrymen. Don't forget about the Cursed Show, patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. That's where you enter to win the signed books and everything, and there's all sorts of other things. There's at least one other bonus post a week up there. I don't know what this week's will be. You just have to tune in to find out. But the Week in Effin' Review is up every Saturday morning at 12:01 a.m. so you get the news the way it deserves to be talked about. $5 a month. Help out the show, please. Patreon.com/Derek Hunter Podcast. Also, don't forget about Ancient Life Oil. Got it right here. AncientLifeOil.com is where you get the best 100% pure organic CBD oil, non-GMO. Everything you need, different flavors, different strengths, whatever makes you comfortable, check it out. Just do a search, see what people are saying about CBD oil, and you'll find out that AncientLifeOil.com has the real stuff, the good stuff. And you enter promo code Derek at checkout, you get free fast shipping on top of everything else. You can't beat the deal. If it sounds like I'm rushing, I am, because I want to get on with the show, so let's get on with the show. It's one of those days where you're sitting around going, what do you do? And I thought, well, it's better to start. Let's start with something from real life. Last night, the took the family to downtown D.C. Friend of ours had, he works for some fancy schmancy company. And they have one of those boxes down at the, I don't know if it's called the Verizon Center anymore or not, but wherever the Capitals play. I guess the Wizards play there too. It was a Capitals game last night. I didn't want to go. I didn't actually go. I turned down my ticket. I don't really enjoy live sporting events or interactions with human beings in the flesh. No, it's a corporate thing. It's more of my wife's thing. It had to do with PR. She has guests. I don't really have guests on her show. It was friends, lots of friends in there. But the kids weren't invited because it was a work thing for my friend. And I was like, meh, I'll just stay home with the kids. Enjoy that more. And nothing against my friends. It's just I enjoy that a lot when I don't have to work. So instead of just dropping the wife off or whatever, I said, let's go to dinner. Let's go to dinner downtown. And then we'll take you to the game, which is right in Chinatown, if you've ever been down there to the Verizon Center. I said, we'll get dinner right near there. And then we'll drop you off and I'll go home with the girls. And then you can take an Uber home. Because I wasn't going to wake him up to drive down there to pick her up. She said, sure, yeah, okay, that sounds good. Go down there. And in Chinatown, I don't know, it had been, and Chinatown used to be one of my haunts. Certainly not for, well, there was a lot of drinking there as well. But it was usually the place you went after drinking because the Chinese restaurants are open till like 4 or 5 in the morning. And I was living in Baltimore working in D.C. or so if I wasn't dating somebody or staying at a friend's house, if I missed the 10:30 train, I was in D.C. till, I can't remember, it was like 4 o'clock or something like that, which didn't make much turnaround time for sleeping. There were lots of call-in sick days. But we drove through, we used to go to Chinatown. Chinatown was bustling all the time. There's bars and restaurants and cell phone shops and nail salons and everything. I mean, Chinatown's very small. It's actually been reduced to like 2 blocks and like a Walgreens with Chinese writing or characters. It's kind of pathetic from a Chinatown perspective, but it was bustling in any event because it was right downtown, right outside the sports arena. There are restaurants, there are bars, bowling alley, things to do. Last night, dropping the wife off, more than half of it is gone. It's gone. It's empty. These are empty storefronts, completely empty storefronts. I mean, not boarded up, but papered up. God, there used to be a Ruby Tuesday down there. That's gone. There used to be a whole bunch of bars. I was surprised. It's been a long time since I've been downtown Washington, D.C. I was surprised at how decimated the whole area was. Now, this is one of the areas where you'd think, okay, yeah, the neighborhood things, they'd have a tough go of it. People are in their homes, whatever. There are all sorts of restrictions in Washington, D.C. Signs everywhere. You're not allowed to enter if no mask, don't even try to enter. That sort of thing. And it's like, well, that's got to be a hindrance on business. If only, not because people don't have masks or are incapable of wearing a mask to go into a restaurant or any establishment, but it's because in D.C. it is like 92% Democrat. Democrats are probably 99% more likely to be terrified of COVID, to be in favor of lockdowns, in favor of mask mandates and all of that. You know, you've seen the numbers. They are much more interested in those sorts of things than independents or conservatives are. Not that independents or conservatives are out licking doorknobs or anything, but just be honest about it. So if you've got a 92% audience that's Democrat inclined to believe the hype because they believe the people spreading the hype, a constant reminder of don't come in here, no glove, no love, no mask, no entry, is even if you have a mask, you go, oh, well, there are people in there without masks on eating. Seems like a super spreader event. Not going to go. And you lose business that you otherwise would have gotten. I've said this before, and I didn't think of it in terms of restaurant space, although I should have. But I'd said after this pandemic is over and as it's winding down or what have you, we are looking at a situation where I am glad that I am not in the commercial real estate game. The commercial real estate game, particularly in large cities, is going to be damaged for a long time. Now, my belief in saying that, my reason for saying that, isn't because businesses are going to shutter and not come back. I believe in the entrepreneurial spirit of the American public. There will be people who go, I'm going to give this dream I have of opening a store or whatever a shot. I said it because of office space and all of the businesses across the country. You probably know them. Maybe you work for one of them. And certainly you know somebody who does, where for a year or more, they said, don't come in. Don't come in. Work from home. And, which is all well and good, but the companies, the organizations, the whatevers, discovered that while people were working from home, they were able to do their jobs. They were able to do their jobs completely and in many ways more efficiently, more effectively. Then, you know, oh, I got to drive for an hour. The traffic is terrible. God, I hate this thing. And you come in and the first half an hour to an hour is spent talking to your friends at work, grousing about this, that, and the other thing, and making plans for lunch and after work and blah, blah. All of that time is now gone and condensed into, well, I got to get this done. This is what I have to do today. If I do this in 2 hours, I'm done in 2 hours. If I do it in 8 hours, I worked a full day. If it takes me 10 hours, that's how long it takes. The freedom of a lot of people, and I think most people were able to work from home wildly effectively, has caused a lot of these companies to go, good God, we have a lot more office space than we need. We have a lot more office space than we need. When in reality, what you need is, you know, a few offices. Maybe you got three floors in a building. What you really could get by with is one. You need some offices to hold meetings. You need a conference room for bigger meetings. You need a waiting area to make people think that it's super important and this is a really wildly important organization. And that's about it. You don't need everybody to show up every day. And I thought, well, that's going to crush the commercial real estate business. I hadn't thought of the terrifying scare tactics that the left uses to try and prolong this thing so they can get their bills passed, so they can get their regulations in, so they can get their way even further. They can get more control. And the impact that was going to have on retail businesses, mostly because it never stopped me from going anywhere. Not that I, you know, again, I'm not a social butterfly. I could be, I used to be, but not being single anymore, I like being around the wife and kids. I'm good with that. But, you know, when we want to go out to eat, we go out to eat. When we want to go to the store, I go to the store. It's not as though I'm sitting here constantly going, I need to get this delivered and this delivered and this delivered because I'm horrified at the prospect of going outside. No, I'm not. I'll go outside happily. I'll go to the store. I go to Costco and Target all the time. My daughters think that every day is Christmas. And every time I leave the house, I got to bring them they think I have to bring them a toy. They think that's all I do is I leave the house to get toys. But there are a lot of people who simply don't. These Karens out there who, like Ruth Marcus of the Washington Post, the other day I told you was upset that somebody was on an elevator without a mask on where she was. And it's like, you're fully vaccinated and you're wearing a mask. Don't resist the urge to make out with that person. Resist the urge to be a super close talker to that person and you'll probably be fine. Don't ask them to sneeze in your face and you'll likely survive the horrors of this exercise. Joe Biden the other day was in Washington, D.C. at a restaurant with Dr. Jill. And he's where he's walking around without a mask on. If that senile old fart can do that, maybe Ruth Marcus could calm down a little bit about an elevator ride in Minneapolis. Unless the guy gets on and he's covered in snot and coughing and going, oh, this fever's killing me. I hate that. Then you might want to be a little concerned. But otherwise, you've got to get back to life. By the time so many of these leftists discover it's time to get back to life, life is going to be gone. These are happening in the cities that are concentrated with Democrats. Washington, D.C. is not overrun with conservatives or independents. It's all Democrats. When people emerge from their cocoons, and there were some people, I didn't go into the hockey game. We sat outside at some, we made reservations at a really nice restaurant. And it used to be down on, I think it's Pennsylvania Avenue, called Del Frisco's. It was like Del Frisco's Grill. And it was like, if you've ever been to New York, there's Del Frisco's right next to Fox News. And it's a double eagle steakhouse. It's delicious. Oh, my God. When I was up there for my book, I ate there. I ate there once with the president and CEO, Mel Karmazin, when he was running Sirius XM radio, because I worked on that merger in a different life. And when I was at Americans for Tax Reform. It was just delicious food, high-class joint. You got to dress up. The Grill is more like an upscale Bennigan's with delicious food. Don't get me wrong. So we were going to go down there. Turns out they moved. They moved actually closer to the Verizon Center, but they also turned it from the Grill to the upscale restaurant. And so we're walking up and I'm in a t-shirt and like sweatpants, not real sweatpants, but like workout pants and my Converse Chuck Taylors. And my wife's dressed up for a hockey game. And so I look up and it says proper attire required. I'm like, oh, crap, we're not going to be able to eat here. We didn't even bother trying. We ended up going to some pub thing. But it's a disappointment, to say the least. Anyway, the rest of the city blocks around that area were a ghost town. So I guess the message would be, if you're in the market for opening up some retail place or you want to try and open up a restaurant or whatever, I'd imagine, under those circumstances, with more than half of the retail and restaurant space already vacant, you could probably get yourself a pretty good deal. That's the beauty of this country, though. If we do come roaring back, it will be the American spirit. It will be the entrepreneurial spirit. It will be capitalism that brings us back. Liberalism, the fear-mongering and all of that will be what destroyed the economy. And the only thing that's really going to bring us back is the entrepreneurial spirit. I don't know if many Democrats have that in them anymore, but the 8% of independents and Republicans who still live in Washington, D.C. will, do, they might. You never know. Could be some suburban dude coming in too and doing it. But I just found that interesting and horrifying simultaneously, that I've never seen, and I grew up in Detroit, so I guess I'm used to large swaths of commercial areas of a major city being boarded up and abandoned. But these weren't, you know, this was fresh. Detroit, it's boarded up, it's spray painted, it's been broken into, it's dilapidated. They have skyscrapers there that are absolutely gorgeous until you get up close to them and you realize there isn't a single pane of glass in the whole building that hasn't been smashed out by some junkie, and every toilet has been thrown out from 40 stories up and smashed on the ground around it. This is not that. First of all, DC has the height restrictions of buildings, but also these were fresh. These are fresh corpses. Hopefully it will come back. But with the people in charge that we have in charge right now and their desire to keep the fear alive, it's going to be a long slog to come back if they're going to come back. And frankly, coming back is counterproductive to what Democrats want right now. So good luck, Washington, D.C. I'm glad I don't live in you. I'm looking at the Twitter machine here. And I see these things that happen all the time. The government, of course, the biggest priority for the Biden administration isn't getting the economy going. In fact, their policies are designed to keep the economy stopping, to slow it down. The liberals think that it's unfair that the U.S. is so successful economically. But they're using climate change as cover for trying to damage the United States economy and trying to crash the economy so they can replace capitalism with communism. Bjorn Lomborg, who's a best-selling author and a skeptical environmentalist, he's a total environmentalist, he just recognizes the truth about costs and things. He buys into a lot of the things that the left does, but he says you can't do it the way you're trying to do. He doesn't understand. He thinks they're working in good faith. They're not working in good faith. He tweeted out, the U.S. going net zero will cost more than $11,300 per person in the year 2050. That's almost five times as much as the average American is willing to pay. That won't end well. And he links to an article that he wrote in the Wall Street Journal, which means that the claim of $11,300 per person has been vetted and fact-checked. Can you imagine? The exact number is $11,279 per person for net zero carbon emissions, which is incredibly stupid and would be so damaging to the country. Plants need CO2 to survive. But Scott Manley, who is in charge of government relations for the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce Association, reminds the world that, quote, recent polling shows majority of Americans unwilling to spend even $10 a month to mitigate global warming, yet it will cost a family of four more than $45,000 per year in higher energy costs by 2025 to meet unrealistic carbon goals. You ready for this? I told you, and I tell you all the time, Democrats play the long con. They're talking about, and you think, oh, well, by 2050. Who will be 2050? That's so far away. Are you planning on not living for 30 years? If you're planning on not living for 30 years, then it's no big deal. But I'd also ask, then do you not have anybody you care about at all who you hope will be alive in 30 years? It's not about just about the country we live in now. It's about the country we leave for our children and our grandchildren. And God, I know I sound all old manny and get off my lawny, but my God, 2050 ain't that far away. And it ain't going to be a switch. It'll step up on the way to 2050. Hey, so there's a lot of political news to get to. There's some audio we've got to play. Joe Biden, let's do some Joe Biden audio now, as a matter of fact, just because he's such a liar. He's so insane. If somebody doesn't know they're lying, if they're suffering from dementia to the point that they're gone, are they really a liar? With Joe Biden, though, you have to say he was a liar, and you have to still call him a liar because, A, you don't know how far gone he is. You know he's gone, but you don't know how far gone. And there's also the reality of the fact that he's always lied. It's not like suddenly, once he hit 72, he started kind of losing it, and then he became a bit of a fabulous. No, when he ran for president in 1988, he had to drop out of the race because he was lying about his biography. He he stole somebody else's biography. He really did. Neil Kinnock. He stole it and plagiarized it. How do you do that? Why do you do that? How insecure must you be to do that? Joe did it. He's been caught time and time again lying about everything. And one of the lies that has become more prevalent in recent days, in recent years, is Joe Biden saying that he was involved in the civil rights movement. Now, this has come about as the Democratic Party has become more and more woke, right? As they become more woke, people want to know, what did you do during the civil, a lot of us weren't alive during the civil rights movement, but those who were, the left wants to know, what did you do? Did you march? Did you do this? Bernie Sanders has video or footage, photographs of him getting arrested in college, protesting for communism and civil rights and everything and blah, blah. So his bona fides are well known. Joe Biden, wealthy, suburban white dude, likes to pretend he's middle class, but his father, his family was only poor, quote unquote, to the extent that they were relative to what they were before Joe came along, because his father was dumb, runs in the family, and got swindled out of the family fortune. The Biden family is actually quite wealthy, or was actually quite wealthy. They are quite wealthy again. Joe Biden is a child of wealth. He won't tell you about it, but I will. The idea that he's middle-class Joe was created by him. The idea that he was a champion of this, that, and the other thing was also created by him. As times change in the Democratic Party, he had to change his story in the Democratic Party. So he went from a segregationist who did not want busing to integrate schools because, as he put it, he didn't want his kids going to school in a jungle, meaning with black kids, to now he was a champion and he was ready to drive those buses. Drive those buses. This is Joe Biden just this week. He claims that he was involved in the civil rights movement. Again, now, if you're a Democratic politician and you were alive during the 60s and the 50s, but particularly the 60s, and you weren't involved in the civil rights movement, if you don't have a picture of you with a scruffy beard and weird plaid pants or whatever the hell hippies wore, shoving up a peace sign or holding up a sign to protest about how Nixon or LBJ are the worst monsters ever. If you don't have that, you got some splaining to do. You better have been drafted and served in Vietnam. That's the only way to get out of this. Well, Joe Biden didn't. He somehow managed to get a bunch of deferments for Vietnam. I love how the left was, Donald Trump had bone spurs. Right, bone spurs. Yeah, he was just a draft dodger. Joe Biden had asthma. Huh? He did? Then how was it that he was a high school football star? How was it that he was a college football player for you? How is it that asthma never factored into his life? How do you get 5 deferments for asthma that nobody's ever seen him have an asthma attack on? Anywho, listen to Joe Biden this week claim that he got involved in the civil rights movement when he was thinking about running for, or this was, he's reminiscing back to when he was first thinking of running for the Senate.
He looked at me and said, Joe, you should run. I said, but I feel strongly about all these issues, but I got involved in the civil rights movement and the war. He said, Joe, you should do it.
Joe, you should run. Well, I don't know. I feel strongly about this, but just, you know, I got involved in the civil rights movement. Oh, did you? Where's that picture? Where is any evidence whatsoever, Joe? Because we have evidence to the contrary. Now, granted, this character witness is not particularly reliable. It's somebody who is known to be a liar. So take that into consideration as you listen to this person. But recognize that this is an older clip. And so this person would not have known that they needed to lie to, or would not have lied to say, well, I'm going to damage the president of the United States. Now, if this were new footage, you could say, well, this person's obviously, there's a possibility at least that this person is lying to damage President Biden. But this is from 1987. This is from 1980. This is a while ago. So the idea of a President Biden Well, actually, it was a possibility because he was running for president in 1987, but he wasn't president in 1987. So the Biden loyalists could say that this person is lying because they were trying to damage Joe Biden's chances in 1988 to get the Democratic nomination. But that wouldn't make any sense because this is audio of Joe Biden in 1987. Yeah, this is Joe Biden telling the story of his not being involved in the civil rights movement.
During the 60s, I was, in fact, very concerned about the civil rights movement. I was not an activist. I worked at an all-black swimming pool in the east side of Wilmington, Delaware. I was involved. I was involved in what they were thinking, what they were feeling. I was involved, but I was not out marching. I was not down in Selma. I was not anywhere else. I was a suburbanite kid who got a dose of exposure to what was happening to black Americans. When I, in my own city, worked there, one, the only white employee, is the only white lifeguard in this, the 13 or 14 lifeguards, to find out that many of these guys lived in that city their whole life, a small city, and never knew a white man. It was a revelation to me.
I never got involved in the civil rights movement. I didn't mess with that kind of stuff. I worked with black people who didn't know white people. I used to let the young black children pet my leg hair, and every once in a while I would rumble after work with corn pop and chains and switchblades. We'd argue about pomade. Now, the civil rights movement, as most people think of it, it started in the mid-50s. It started long before then. But it really came to prominence in the mid-60s, where it really was racking up victories, where it was changing, where it was winning, where things were getting better. Joe Biden worked at that swimming pool in 1960. He wasn't involved in, you know, he's still putting Vaseline in his hair back when he had his real hair. He was not out there marching. He never got involved in the civil rights movement, except to hear him tell it now, as I was heavily involved. I took a billy club to the forehead. Actually, I would believe that. That might explain a lot if you tell me that Joe Biden was routinely concussed. But he's lying again, and he lies to make himself better. Now, look, you're president of the United States, dude. You don't need to lie. But there's something about this guy, something in the back of his head, something that has made him wildly insecure. And I think it might be that, you know, his family is known for being dumb and his father got swindled out of the family fortune and he's had to rebuild it. That this guy has a bit of a Napoleon complex, not just in stature, but in mental state, in ability, in accomplishment. And so no matter what he does, and you'd think, I'm president of the United States, I don't care about anything else. You'd think that'd be enough. It's not enough. It's never enough. When you really are suffering from some kind of psychosis, some sort of mental breakdown, some kind of complex, it's never going to be satiated. It can't be satiated because it's irrational to begin with. So Joe is rewriting his history right before everybody else, right before everyone's eyes. And it's pathetic because you would think this guy would know that you can't fool these people. We know that the truth is out there. It's like the X-Files. The truth is out there. You've lived a life in the public eye, dude. You've got this. We've got you on tape. But no. That's where the senility creeps in. Insecurity and senility. The insecurity causes him to lie. The senility causes him to lie in a way that is easily disproven. I'm sure you could probably finesse this a little bit, make it sound as though he was interested in the civil rights movement without actually being involved in it, but he's not skillful enough. By the way, did you notice the difference between the energy level from Joe Biden today to Joe Biden in 1987. Joe Biden 1987, still full of it, still dumb as the day is long, but certainly sounds as though he's there. He's, you know, knock on the door, somebody's home. You might not like who answers the door, but somebody's there. Joe Biden today is, confused, and he didn't go in and whisper the way he does. That's a new revelation, new part of his shtick. But he still did yell randomly. He's got that one. So it just, you can see how anybody who tells you Joe Biden is Joe Biden, he's still the same. He hasn't faltered at all. Play any clip of him from the 80s, 90s, even 2000s, and compare it to any clip of him from today. And tell me that man hasn't slipped. That man hasn't slipped. By the way, speaking of slipping, the IRS, remember the Biden administration and Democrats had a plan. If you ever had a bank account with any transaction more than $600 in the course of a year, the federal government wanted to know about it. They wanted to know about all your transactions for $600 a year. That seemingly would include, you know, paychecks every 2 weeks being direct deposited more than $600. If you save up anything, you sell anything on eBay, you get a promotion, whatever it is. People, over the course of a year, you will have transacted more than $600 in your bank account. Well, Republicans and even some Democrats, not many, said that's ridiculous. That is going to catch every American humanly possible. Even though Janet Yellen, the Secretary of Treasury, was out there just last week sounding like a dude. She sounds like a dude when she talks. She was out there saying, we're trying to catch tax scofflaws, the millionaire and billionaire class. You're trying to catch millionaires and billionaires $600 at a time over the course of a year. If you get $600, the government wants to check your bank records, wants access to them. It seems like a wild Fourth Amendment violation. But now Democrats have changed their mind. They're not going to do it. They're still going to do it. They still want your bank records, my God. But they have pretended to hear the outrage and pretended to change their tune. Instead of $600, it will now be $10,000. Okay, you think, well, $10,000 a pop, not many people do that. No. $10,000, like it was $600 over really the course of a year, but I was illustrating how you would hit that limit in a pay period. It's $10,000 over the course of a year. The IRS still wants it. $10,000 sounds a lot better than $600. But what doesn't make any sense is either one of those numbers when you're claiming, now we're dealing with people who are wildly dishonest, but we have to report what they are saying. When they are claiming they're doing this to catch millionaires and billionaire tax cheats. And I tell you this all the time. There aren't enough millionaires and billionaires in this country. Not to fund what Democrats want. There aren't. There are very few billionaires, relatively speaking, and millionaires aren't super prevalent either. They're prevalent, sure, there's lots of them, but the vast majority of people in this country are not either millionaires or billionaires. So on a pure volume basis, the middle class has the money, especially when you recognize that the billionaire class has their money in wealth, in stock, in things. It's not liquid. They're not moving things. So, you know, Elon Musk is apparently worth like $220 billion right now, richest man in the world. $220 billion. He's not sitting on $220. You break into one of his houses and in the glove box of a Tesla, there's not going to be $220 billion sitting there. It's in Tesla stock. If Tesla stock drops by 25%, guess what happens to Elon Musk's net worth? It drops by 25%. And frankly, it probably is due for that. Tesla is more of a craze and an idea than it is a successful business, at least so far. But that's just my assessment of it. Make your own investment choices. But it's not as though you can tax him on that. He owns Tesla stock. Unless he sells Tesla stock, there's no tax to levy on him. You, on the other hand, over the course of a year, they might find that you owe $500 more than you said. They're coming after you. They want to check your records. They want to check everybody's records under the guise of only going after rich guys. Well, if you really only wanted to go after rich guys, there's a very simple way to do that. Audit every rich guy. Hey, anybody making more than $10 million a year is going to get an audit. Okay? That leaves the rest of us alone. gives us something to aspire to, something to shoot for. If you really think that the rich are tax cheats and you're not a tool of the rich and you want to go after them like you claim you do but don't have any evidence to back up that claim, you could easily say we are going to go after these people with this income level to take a look at their books. Now, I assume that would be a pretty close to a bill of attainder and be problematic from a constitutional point of view, and the courts may weigh in on that, but at least you could try. Instead, they're casting a fishing net going, we want all the tuna we can get. We don't care how many dolphins we snare in it. When realistically, the dolphins have the money. They want the dolphins. They couldn't care less about the tuna because there aren't enough tuna. I don't know. Maybe fish analogies aren't great, but I think you get my point. I'm looking at the Twitter machine. Somebody says about Meghan McCain. Meghan McCain appeared. She's got a... do you care what Meghan McCain... I hope you don't care what Meghan McCain thinks. But she's back on Fox trying to sell her autobiography because, you know, what 30-year-old lucky sperm, that's her only accomplishment, doesn't need an autobiography. Right? Am I right? What has she done? Well, I was on The View for a while, and she's on The View whining about how rough it was on The View to be the conservative on The View. And like, you were paid a ton of money with no discernible skills, and you were paid a ton of money to go on there and be the Republican who says Joe Biden is better than Donald Trump. And you did it. But now that she's left The View, now that she's in need of a job, she's out there sucking up about how hard it was to be on The View, to be the conservative on The View. She's trying to rebrand herself to get that Fox News contributorship back. And what's really pathetic and sad is it'll work. By the end of the year, she'll be a Fox News contributor again. She'll be co-hosting the Five and the lunchtime thing and whatever. They'll have her on there. Why? Because the establishment takes care of their own. She has no skills. She has no ability. She has no accomplishments other than being John McCain's daughter. That's enough. She'll earn millions of dollars off of that. And tell me anybody's anti-establishment or Fox, or any of these cable networks are anti-establishment. It's a damn joke. Oh, by the way, on the banking spying thing, the left now has, and it's amazing to me how the fact checkers. I am all the fact checking you need, ladies and gentlemen. Fear not. These media fact checkers, people with fact checkers in their titles, are such a pathetic joke. They do more damage to the English language than anybody ever could, than the most illiterate person you've ever heard try to read Shakespeare could ever do, damage-wise, to the English language. And, of course, the Blue Checkmark Brigade is out in full force on this one. John Harwood, who is the White House correspondent for CNN, total hack. He was gleefully spreading this story around from the Washington Post. No, Biden isn't proposing that the IRS spy on bank records. No, no. And the Washington Post wrote up a big thing about it. A fact check. Yes, they've got to do a fact check on this thing. After Democrats wanted watered down his proposal in response to Republican concerns, GOP senators nonetheless took turns describing it as an unprecedented invasion of privacy, the Washington Post declares. Try and get a hold of Jeff Bezos' bank records. See how much, how interested in personal liberty and privacy the Washington Post suddenly becomes. The facts, they say, Biden is proposing to bulk up enforcement at the IRS by adding agents and expanding some reporting requirements. This would bring in an estimated $320 billion over 10 years, according to the administration, that Biden would use to fund other items on his to-do list. Now, I love this. If you just believe all their garbage, which I don't, and I don't recommend you do, but if you do, if you take them at their word, this would bring in $320 billion over 10 years that Joe Biden immediately wants to spend. We're staring at $30 trillion in debt. Sooner or later, we're going to have to pay it. Sooner or later, we're going to have to at least pretend to pay that. We're going to have to start sending in something on that. As it is, we're not even really covering the interest on that money yet. And that's with interest rates at zero. So we can't afford the interest rates at zero. What do you do with interest rates at two? You think, well, it's only 2%. Well, and you're dealing with $30 trillion? That's a lot of money. So they really only want this because they want to spend more. They want to spend more, and they need cover for it. There's no way in hell that there's that much tax fraud going on. If it was, we'd have found it. But the left always claims that there's got to be. There has to be more tax fraud than we know of, because we're not getting it. Now, we just set a record for income tax collected. There's a new record. Every year, seemingly, we set new records on the amount of taxes collected. And what a Democrat said, well, there's obviously tax cheats out there. We need a stronger IRS. Why would you ever, and I don't care who the target they say they're going after is, why would you ever support the concept of a stronger IRS? Why would you? Is there an organization that you would less like to receive a piece of mail from? Is there an organization you'd much rather see more in check? Boy, I tell you, housing and urban development really needs to get the business. No, it is the IRS. And that's why the establishment is going after it. Look at the way the IRS was weaponized under the Obama-Biden administration. Look at what they did. Look at what they managed to do. It's not new. It wasn't new to Obama-Biden. I came into the Heritage Foundation. I graduated college in December of 2000, got hired at the Heritage Foundation in May of 2001, moved out here, started working there. First orientation, I think it was the first day. It was pretty close to the first day. They were impressing upon us no partisan activity in your emails. You can't use your work computer for anything part. And that was basically dial-up internet. You're not going to do a whole lot on there. But you can't do that. You can't send partisan jokes. You can't do this, that, and the other thing. They were really, really paranoid about this. And they had a good reason to. Under the Clinton administration, they'd been audited, I think, 6 of the 8 years. Just, you know, one of them things. Could have happened to anybody. It's like 6 of the 8 years, at least 5 of the 8 years, the Heritage Foundation was audited by the Clinton administration, by the independent IRS. I'm sure that it was completely arbitrary and just one of those things, right? It's garbage. It was garbage. It was partisan hacks. They were critical of the Clinton administration's agenda. And so the Clinton administration sicked the IRS on them. There is no similar stories of any left-wing think tanks, the Brookings Institute, the Urban Institute, the Center for American Progress, which came along later, that they say they were audited under the Bush administration. Oh, boy, howdy, the Trump administration really sicked the IRS on them. It just didn't happen. It doesn't happen. It happens under Democrats. So to give the IRS any more power, any more people for enforcement, they say. It sounds great. Look, if you're a tax cheat, go get you. Everybody's down with that. Nobody should be doing that. And you're not cheating on your taxes, so you don't have any sympathy for somebody who's cheating on their taxes. But I guarantee you, if they looked at your taxes, they could find something. They could find something. If they wanted to, if you crossed the government, if you found yourself on the wrong side of the Biden-Harris administration, and too publicly, you're getting a little too loud, a little too vocal, a little too uppity, then suddenly somebody with a wink and a nod, they'd never put it in writing, it's highly doubtful they'd put it in writing, but with a wink and a nod, they'd go, all right, we know what to do. Let's go get them. The Obama-Biden administration didn't have to tell Lois Lerner to prevent conservatives from getting the 501c3 tax-exempt status so that they could be involved in the, or in the, I guess it was a, C4 status, not tax-exempt. That was still tax-exempt. But they were activist groups. They did not need, Lois Lerner didn't need to be told, don't let these people get this stuff. She knew. She didn't have to be ordered to do it. She knew already. So they didn't have to put it in writing. That's what an all-powerful IRS does. So the idea that the IRS and the Biden administration would like to spy on your bank records, even though it's basically the plain language of the bill. Any transaction in the course of a year, if you have $600 worth of transactions, now $10,000 worth of transactions. Not $10,000 sitting in your savings account, but $10,000 in transactions, meaning $1,000 a week for 10 weeks or $500 a week for 20 weeks. If $10,000 passes through your bank account, the Biden administration wants to empower the IRS to look through your bank records to see if you're paying everything they believe you should be. That should scare the hell out of everybody. It doesn't bother the left. It doesn't bother the Washington Post because they know they're not going to be the target of it. They're safe. No, if a Republican comes in, just imagine this. Donald Trump comes. No, I didn't want to even. Ron DeSantis. President Ron DeSantis in 2025 comes in and says to someone in the IRS, whoever he appoints to head the IRS, say, look, media matters for America. They're a bunch of fascist, lunatic losers who live in their parents' basements, never kissed a girl, never will kiss a girl. But they are partisan activists, yet somehow they have tax-exempt status as a nonpartisan charity. Why don't you audit their book? Why don't you go through everything and see, you know, if they really, I don't believe for a second they deserve that. Now, that would be a valid case, and I'm rather disappointed in President Trump for not having done just that or appointed somebody who would promise to do just that, to work in the IRS, because that is something that definitely, absolutely needs to be done. But do you imagine the absolute fecal storm should a Republican president do that? My God, he's weaponized the IRS. The editorial board at the Washington Post would concuss themselves, trying to rush together to write an editorial condemning the blatant abuse of power and the dictatorial instincts of President DeSantis and how this has to be stopped. And you know what, quite frankly, the House of Representatives should start looking into impeachment, because if this isn't a high crime and misdemeanor, why then nothing is. Meanwhile, they're silent on Joe Biden deliberately and directly disobeying the law, the unambiguous law on things like immigration. Meh, who cares? We're all down with the cause. So no, you don't let these people anywhere near the levers of power. You don't let these people anywhere near anything. For the love of God, they will destroy it. They are the termites of the political world. They will rot everything they touch. And they'll destroy you in the process. Speaking of destroying you, this story is, you knew it was coming, right? You had to know it was coming. That's just the way that the weak-kneed, jelly-spined, soft-skulled corporate world works now. Remember the Dave Chappelle comedy special, The Closer? It's worth watching. I don't think it's Chappelle's best work. But he has some really great social commentary. There's some really funny moments in there. And there's some moments in there where you're just like, this isn't really funny. This isn't really. But, you know, it's a comedy special. You're not going to, not every joke is going to land. There are worse ways to spend an hour and 15 minutes than watching Dave Chappelle's The Closer. But because in part of that special, Dave Chappelle made jokes about the trans community. Oh, he was punching down. Oh, it's so terrible. He's so mean. He's so awful. These trannies are very upset. Oh, am I allowed to say that? No, I'm not. Anyway, the Netflix had been standing by it, saying, look, artistic freedom, freedom of speech. We're not going to pull this thing down. We're not going to. Ted Sarandos, the co-CEO of Netflix, said, we're not going to do this. This is ridiculous. I think more than likely, to be honest with you, the reason I think Netflix hasn't caved just yet is I would guess that Dave Chappelle employs some pretty smart and pretty damn good lawyers who in their deal recognize that, you know, even 6 years ago, there's a lot of this woke PC BS stuff. And so they put it in his deal that Netflix has zero control, zero input over the editorial control of the content. So they can't edit it. They can't edit things out. They have to run it as is. That's the deal. Lest they have to pay a ton of money to Dave Chappelle if they do that. So I don't think that Netflix is really doing this from altruistic free speech point of view. I think they're probably doing it from a financial point of view. If I were to cut a deal to do a comedy special or any special on something, I would say, yeah, and you have no editorial control. Now, I'm nobody. They wouldn't give that to me. But Dave Chappelle, they wanted Dave Chappelle. He can demand that sort of thing and get it. And there's no way his team didn't demand that and get it. So I think that Netflix going, we're standing for free speech, was garbage. We're standing for not having to pay like $50 million to Dave Chappelle. But the pressure from the woke crowd is mounting. And it's mounting because Netflix, they should just come up and tell these people to go to hell. That should be what it, that would get rid of them. That would have gotten, it's too late now, but if they'd come out and said, look, it's comedy, get over yourselves, you're not that important. If you don't like it, don't watch it, tough. We're not changing a damn thing, now get the hell out of here. And anybody internally who starts plotting against this or leaking information or doing anything that works for this company will be fired. No apologies, no severance, no nothing. Shut up and go away. Most of these leftists would have gone, well, all right, well, we're not going to be able to plant corn in this parking lot. We got to get out of here. We'll go someplace else and find a weaker target. They could have done that, but there is no company with the underpant content in the front to do this anymore. So they did the, well, we understand and sympathize with it, but artistic freedom is... No, just tell these people to go to hell. You don't have to explain yourself to them. It's comedy. If you don't get it, you're the joke. Well, now... it's changing to the extent that Netflix was standing up to it and they'd fired. There's a trans protest, LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ planned walkout protest at Netflix. And I would say fire everybody who walks out. Don't even put out a memo that says don't even go to the bathroom during this time. If you're not at your desk, you're fired. They won't do that because they're a bunch of wussy liberals ready to cave. They fund the woke culture, the cancel culture. They fund it happily. They just don't know what to do when it turns on them. They're like, wait a second, we're nice to you. They don't understand that the mob has no friends. They have funders. But now, in the face of the protests and this story being kept alive by the media, remember how they said, well, they're paying too much attention to the white missing white girls. Why aren't they paying attention to missing black girls? CNN did hours and hours about how missing black girls are never... And then they did an hour-long special about that missing white girl. Figure that one out. These woke people are raging, raging hypocrites. They're covering this story so the story remains alive. There are probably, I don't know, 15 real true believers involved in this story, and everybody else is bandwagon virtue signaling and scared to death that if they don't get involved and don't say the right thing, that they'll be next. So now Netflix co-CEO Ted Sarandos says he, quote, screwed up in his efforts to communicate with employees who are upset over Dave Chappelle. Oh, no, it's terrible. I screwed up. He screwed up. Quote, I should have recognized the fact that a group of our employees was really hurting. What I should have done is have led in those emails with what was humanity. And employees are hurting. No. Sooner or later, these idiots are going to have to be told to wake the hell up and grow the hell up. Somebody's got to do it. That the co-CEO of Netflix can't bring himself to do it, it just means that he's prolonging the stupidity and childhood and unearned adolescence of people who will never be productive members of society. They'll only be destructive members of society. They should all be fired. I wish them all ill, and I mean that in the nicest possible way, which, quite frankly, if we're being honest, since we're friends and being honest, is no way at all. They're bad people. They're spoiled people, and they need to get smacked across the face by reality at some point soon, or they will continue to rape it to the point that it is unrecognizable. You want to live in a world controlled by somebody who's upset and yelling at their boss about a comedy special? I sure as hell don't. By the way, under the guise of liberals and liberalism ruining everything, like termites, like locusts, I've been to California many times, but I have never had, and this might come as a shock, disappointment to some of you, and I apologize in advance, I've never had In-N-Out Burger. I know so many people who won't shut up about In-N-Out Burger that it's not funny. They say, oh my God, it's the best, it's the best, it's the best. I don't know how you make the best burger. I don't know, like a burger is a burger. It's not like a burger is a burger. There certainly is a hierarchy of burgers, but I don't get orgasmic over burgers. A Five Guys burger. Damn good burger. Damn good burger. Not much of a bun left there because it's so greasy and everything, but that's probably what makes it good. It's a fine burger. I think a McDonald's double cheeseburger, especially if it's been if the cheese has been coagulating under the heat lamp for a little bit and it's like stuck to the paper wrapping. That's a genius burger. It's basic. It's just pickle, onions, and ketchup, I think, is all you get on that thing. Awesome burger. Love it. But for some reason, anybody who's been Vegas or West comes back as if they've been replaced by a pod person talking about In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out Burger is the best. Oh my, double toil and trouble or whatever. I don't even know what they're called. But if you're going to San Francisco, you're going to have some difficulty in finding your fix. If you're going to San Francisco, you're probably going to San Francisco, not your fix, like heroin. That's prevalent. They'll probably give it to you at the airport. But In-N-Out Burger being shut down. Fox News reports the city of San Francisco temporarily closed an In-N-Out fast food restaurant over the company's refusal to force customers to prove they are vaccinated against the coronavirus. The San Francisco Department of Public Health closed the Fisherman's Wharf In-N-Out location on October 14th after the popular burger joint did not check the vaccination status of customers, which violates an August mandate from the city requiring indoor diners to show proof of vaccination. An August mandate. It's from August. Last month, which is September, which is after August, the mayor of San Francisco, London Breed, remember her? She was at the Tony concert, and she's grooving, she's having a good time. No mask, singing along, standing up, swaying back and forth, dancing. Your kids, if they're involved in track in California, have to wear a mask while they run track outside. Cross country, put your mask on. But if you're mayor, you can go to a small, cramped bar because Tony's playing. Oh, and you know when that music gets going, you just can't control yourself. Your IQ, your civic responsibility, your oath of office, and any common sense or decency or understanding of what the term hypocrisy means. Just go out the window to the smooth grooves of Tony. Oh, you can just hear it now. But if you do not have a sniper at the door of your burger joint going, show us your vaccine passport or thou shalt be ventilated, you get shut down by the city of San Francisco. In-N-Out, Fox continues, which operates 358 locations across the western United States, is owned by devout Christian Lindsay Snyder and is well known for including Bible verses in the bottom of soda and milkshake cups. Quote, our store properly and clearly posted signage to communicate local vaccination requirements. In-N-Out Burger's chief legal and business officer, Arnie Weisinger, said in a statement to Fox News, after closing our restaurant, local regulators informed us that our restaurant associates must actively intervene by demanding proof of vaccination and photo identification for every customer when they act as enforcement personnel by barring entry to any customers without the proper documents. You mean what's your job? I play the designated German at an In-N-Out Burger at Fisherman's Wharf. Your papers, please. Your papers. We must have your papers. You need your vaccine shot card and a photo ID from the very same people that tell you that photo IDs to vote is Jim Crow 2.0. It's worse than Jim Crow. It's an update on Jim Crow made even more heinous by the crime of having somebody reach into their freaking pocket and pull out a piece of identification. That's a bridge too far. They will take to the streets. They will incite violence. They will go to politicians' homes and threaten their existence over the prospect of that. But if you want some fries with that, well, that's a different story altogether. I can't wait till they have people with rubber hoses outside these locations to beat holy hell out of them. Thank God for In-N-Out Burger. They're standing up to it. Weisinger continues. He's the chief legal and business officer. He says, quote, "We refuse to become the vaccination police for any government." Yeah, slamming San Francisco's Department of Health requirements as unreasonable, invasive, and unsafe, and accusing the city of asking restaurants to segregate customers based on vaccine documentation. That's right. Quote, "We fiercely disagree with any government dictate that forces a private company to discriminate against customers who choose to patronize their businesses. This is clear governmental overreach and is intrusive, improper, and offensive." The store has since been reopened, but indoor dining is not available. Since they refuse to comply, they will do all they can to damage their business. This is liberalism in practice. This is the new left. It's a hell of a lot like the old left. Not, you know, the old left like the hippies. I'm talking, you know, 1930s Germany old left. Oh, yeah, they were progressive then, too. They're progressive now. The only difference is they're here. Speaking of progressives ruining everything, because they do, we've got Mayor de Blasio. What's funny to me about Mayor de Blasio up in New York is that he really thinks he can become governor. He's wildly unpopular. If Republicans had been able to field a candidate that was worth their weight in dog dirt, they would have beaten Bill de Blasio. And I expect the Democrat who's running right now, I don't even know his name. I can't remember his name. It doesn't matter. But I suspect that Democrat will win because he's kind of sane. You know, there were a hell of a lot worse candidates running for mayor of New York this time on the Democratic side. They picked a guy who said, "We're not going to defund the police." He's actually a former cop. "We're not going to defund the police. That's insane." Which is really what you want, and all you really need or want from your mayor is, hey, we're going to do all we can to make sure that you don't die, that you don't get murdered, that you don't get robbed, that you don't get beat up, all of those things. And there were so many Democrats running going, "I promise that I will make it easier for you to have holy hell beat out of you as you simply try to go about your business." So it gives you a little bit of hope that the Democrats nominated somebody who says, "I don't think that's a good way to live life, and so I'm not going to do that." But then you look at the results of the primary and you realize that that guy who said that thing only got about 33% of the vote. But whatever. He'll probably win. I'd prefer to see Curtis Sliwa win up there in New York, but I don't live in New York, and New Yorkers are stupid, so I doubt that they would vote for Curtis Sliwa. That being said, they did vote for Bill de Blasio. Bill de Blasio has been busy when his wife is not incompetently, I don't know, losing $1 billion for the mental health program that she's allegedly working on and heading up. Yeah, she did. Look it up. She lost. She just misplaced. You know, it could happen. Anybody could lose $1 billion, right? By the way, if anybody wants to lose $1 billion in my direction, give me a call. We'll work something out. I'll help. I'll unburden you of that. But Bill de Blasio has been a burden. While unburdening himself of concern over the $1 billion that his wife lost, he has been burdening the people of New York with his idiocy. Lockdowns, mandates, banning black people from restaurants. Oh, they don't bill it that way. But he did ban anybody who isn't vaccinated, and the vast majority of New Yorkers who aren't vaccinated are black, so anybody, and Hispanic, don't forget about that. So anybody who's going to go into a restaurant pretty much has to be white and vaccinated. Yeah, lovely. It's like San Francisco on stupid steroids. But now he's back. He's already got the police mad at him, the teachers mad at him with the vaccine mandates or lose your job. Now he's going for all city employees, which really kind of begs a question. Why didn't you go with these people to begin with? Why didn't you go with these people? Why were they exempted, city employees? No, they're not going to be exempted anymore. As any good politician knows, when you're announcing a liberal policy, you go on Morning Joe. Honest to God. There's local television that gets many more viewers than Morning Joe does in New York City. But Bill wants to be governor. He thinks that's the key. So this is a political announcement as much as it is anything else. Here is Mayor Frankenstein. You ever see the guy? He's very tall and dumb looking. Mayor Frankenstein, Bill de Blasio, talking about the vaccine mandates for city employees.
We did the vaccinate or test option, but it hasn't gotten us where we need to go. So we say, vaccinate. If you choose not to, you have the right to go on unpaid leave. We're going to work with your union to figure out what happens next. But the bottom line is we're not going to pay people unless they're vaccinated. They don't lose their jobs. They can correct and come back. I think that's compassion. I think that's right. But the bottom line is 96% of our education employees did it. 96% of our healthcare workers did it. It's time for everyone else.
You can correct and come back. Now, the arrogance of this. You can correct and come back. Go get right with God. And by God, I mean government. And by government, I mean me. Go out and get right with that. And then you can come back. They're not going to lose their jobs. They're just going to be placed on unpaid leave. Oh, well, thank God. There's the vacation you've always wanted. As long as you want it to be, as long as all of your savings hold out, you can become a New York City employee who exercises free will. Bill de Blasio there, whose real name is Warren Wilhelm Jr. Let's just be honest about what Bill de Blasio is. Warren Wilhelm Jr. changed his name to Bill de Blasio because why not? Would you vote for Warren Wilhelm Jr.? No, it's like Willy Wonka's weirdo cousin. Ain't gonna vote for that. Speaking of weirdo cousins, words I never thought I'd say. Admiral Rachel Levine. Admiral Rachel Levine. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going, Rachel Levine, why do I know that name? Where do I know that name from? Well, Rachel Levine is the Deputy Undersecretary of Health and Human Services. It was also, I don't know what gender pronouns, Rachel Levine. Rachel Levine's a trans dude or trans woman or whatever. I don't know which his preferred pronouns are, and frankly, I don't care. It's a dude playing dress up. And he was the healthcare head of the state of Pennsylvania, who oversaw the slaughter of senior citizens in nursing homes up in Pennsylvania. The exact same order that killed more than 15,000 senior citizens in the state of New York was replicated in Pennsylvania under the orders of Dr. Rachel Levine. The only difference is because of population constraints, more damage from a raw numbers perspective was able to be done in New York City, in New York State, than in Pennsylvania. But it was just as bad. And oh, by the way, Rachel Levine assured the public that the order was perfectly safe and healthy and nothing to worry about. At the same time, Rachel Levine pulled Rachel Levine's mother, who was in a nursing home, out of a nursing home while issuing this order. Rachel Levine, Dr. Rachel Levine, knew full well that this would be a death sentence, sending COVID-positive patients back into nursing homes, ordering it. So she pulled her mother out, protected her mother. Mommy's got to be taken care of, but your mommy, your grandma, no, to hell with you. Rachel Levine was rewarded because Rachel Levine is transgender, much like Mayor Pete being at the Secretary of Transportation. He had no qualifications, no understanding. He's just gay. And they're like, oh, we need a gay guy. Let's go with Pete. People seem to like him. All right, that'll give me points with the progressives. Give me gay Pete and we'll put him over there and we see how that worked out with the supply chain. Rachel Levine was a disgrace, a disaster in Pennsylvania, but she plays dress up. So got nominated and got confirmed because Democrats are a damn joke. Now, to make it even worse, this from the Washington Post headline, Rachel Levine, openly transgender health official. Yeah, that's the qualification, openly transgender. Done horrible things on health, killed people, responsible for a lot of death in Pennsylvania, but openly transgender, so never mind. continues, sworn in as four-star admiral in public health service. Wow, you want to talk about double dress-up. The public health service, a four-star admiral in public health? Never heard of such a thing before. But it's, you know, the surgeon general, not really a general. Well, this creature is now an admiral. And yesterday, Rachel Levine, Admiral Rachel Levine addressed what an honor it was to be able to play dress-up in something called the Public Health Service.
The opportunity to serve as the head of the United States Public Health Service Commissioned Corps as a four-star officer is an extraordinary honor and a profound responsibility. I am truly honored to join the ranks of men and women across this great nation who have committed to defend the United States against small and large threats, known and unknown. And I promise to uphold that trust to the fullest extent of my abilities.
Well, that's not very, very far. Rachel Levine, by the way, believes in the, you know, puberty blocking 10-year-olds, 8-year-olds being able to declare their gender being the opposite of what reality is, and then pumping them full of hormones, because why not? Post reports, a senior Biden health appointee who made history when she became the nation's highest-ranking openly transgender official has also become its first openly transgender four-star officer. This isn't in the military. They're just making this up. Rachel Levine, the U.S. Assistant Secretary for Health, was sworn in Tuesday as an admiral of the U.S. Public Health Service Commissioned Corps, a 6,000-person force that responds to health crises on behalf of the federal government, including administering coronavirus vaccines and delivering care after hurricanes. Levine is also the organization's first-ever female four-star admiral. Yeah, man. Boy, men as women. Is there nothing men can't do? They're even breaking ground as women. That's how dominant men are. A man is the first female four-star admiral in the makeup dress-up corps. The move was hailed by advocacy groups such as gay rights organization GLAAD and healthcare leaders who called it a breakthrough moment. Yeah, unheard from the family members of the senior citizens, the thousands of senior citizens killed as a direct result of Rachel Levine's orders while Rachel Levine was the chief health policy official in the state of Pennsylvania. So congratulations on you, dude. You did it. Make sure you tuck it back, because I don't know how the uniform is cut, but it's probably different than the usual skirts you're used to. And good for you, Rachel Levine. You're going to be out there, and nobody knows coronavirus response like somebody responsible directly for thousands of deaths. So congratulations to all of us. God, what a disgrace. Since we always talk about how liberals are hypocrites, but only because they are. I love this story because it is exactly what you'd expect. As a child who, going to bars and clubs and drinking and dancing, and that's all I'll ever admit to. In the 90s, Rage Against the Machine was popular. Now they're not. I don't know when the last time they did anything that was worthwhile. But for some weird reason, Tom Morello, the guitarist for Rage Against the Machine, has managed to, through marketing and sheer force of being a total communist, and he really is a full-blown communist, has managed to stay relevant somehow. I don't know. Oh, he's one of the greatest guitarists. Rage Against the Machine had one good album and really one song. And somehow he's milked this for millions of dollars, playing on other people's records. I don't know if he's a good guitarist or not. I just know he's a phony, jackass, hypocritical, multimillionaire communist. Well, he's still in Rage Against the Machine, but now he's becoming the machine. Well, not now. He's just saying, I'm not even going to pretend that I'm Raging Against the Machine. I am the machine now. The New York Times, they have this piece. Introducing Tom Morello's newsletter. Yes, Tom Morello is going, it's a very long piece written by two journalists. to announce that the guitarist from Rage Against the Machine has joined the Ultimate Machine, the New York Times, and will do a newsletter, a subscription newsletter, talking about pop culture, politics, socialism. It really, this is what they're doing. He's a, you know, musician and activist, Tom Morello. I doubt he graduated high school, but he is now a contributor to the New York Times and on the payroll of the Ultimate Machine. No more raging there, I guess. The only thing at his age that's raging, I would assume at this point, is the hemorrhoids, which, surprised it took this long with his head that far up there, they have to be huge and really painful and itchy. Lastly today, I want to play you a clip from Ginger Goebbels herself. As a question, it's a snarky comment from Ginger Goebbels from a question by Michael Shear of the New York Times. Legitimate question, supply chain. You got all those ships off of the West Coast and you're sitting there going, hey, there's people are having to wait long periods of time for things that they could use to be able to just buy. None of this is a surprise. The question is quite legitimate. And Ginger Goebbels' response is quite telling in how unseriously she takes, and this White House takes, the issue.
It was clear in March of 2020 when COVID hit that the supply chains across the world had been disrupted. Even as the sort of work to fight back against COVID proceeded, it was crystal clear that things were not improving on supply chain. People couldn't get dishwashers and furniture and treadmills delivered on time, not to mention all sorts of other things. So why
the
is it...
The tragedy of the treadmill that's delayed.
Right, right.
Oh, the tragedy of the treadmill that is delayed. That's, you know, the food, the paper towel, the toilet paper, the medicines, the whatever else is out there on those ships. The things that we're getting noticed for right now are things like a dishwasher, 6 months to buy a new washer and dryer, the treadmill. And these are serious things that will trickle down eventually to those other things that do matter, which is why you should deal with this now and not postpone it and not make smart-ass comments like, oh, the tragedy of the treadmill that was delayed. But they don't care. There's too much choice out there anyway for Democrats. It's just confusing. Freedom, that icky, icky freedom. This is the people who are in charge of our country. These are the people you trust to right the ship that they're currently ramming into every other ship they can get their hands on? Absolutely, positively, hell no. Ginger Goebbels should be condemned for this. It is not mentioned. It doesn't matter. She doesn't care. And therefore, the media doesn't care. They know their role. Never got an answer to that question, by the way, because there isn't a good one. They're just bad people. That is all the time we have and all the time I'm going to take up for today. You can go about your business now. It's a beautiful day, hopefully, where you are. Go out and enjoy it and be back here tomorrow for more of the same. Thank you.
I got involved in the civil rights movement.
I was not out marching. I was not down in Selma. I was not anywhere else.